Second book of Chronicles, chapter 11, and we'll read the first 17 verses together. When Rehoboam arrived in Jerusalem, he mobilized the house of Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 choice warriors, to fight against Israel to restore the reign to Rehoboam. But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, "Say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, this is what the Lord says. You are not to march up and fight against your brothers. Each of you must return home, for this incident has come from me." So they listened to what the Lord said and turned back from going against Jeroboam. Rehoboam stayed in Jerusalem, and he fortified cities in Judah. He built up Bethlehem, Etam, Tekoa, Beth-Zur, Soko, Adullam, Gath, Marashah, Ziph, Adorem, Lachish, Azekah, Zorah, Aijalon, and Hebron, which are fortified cities in Judah and in Benjamin. He strengthened their fortifications and put leaders in them with supplies of food, oil, and wine. He also put large shields and spears in each and every city to make them very strong. So Judah and Benjamin were his. The priests and Levites from all their regions throughout Israel took their stand with Rehoboam, for the Levites left their pasture lands and their possessions and went to Judah and Jerusalem, because Jeroboam and his sons refused to let them serve as priests of the Lord. Jeroboam appointed his own priests for the high places, the goat demons and the gold calves he had made. Those from every tribe of Israel who had determined in their hearts to seek the Lord their God followed the Levites to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord God of their ancestors. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and supported Rehoboam, son of Solomon, for 3 years, because they walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. At the beginning of this year, Bethel Christian Assembly held a week of prayer, and we devoted 3 evenings and one time in the morning to seek the Lord for his face and to seek the Lord's blessing for the coming year and for anything that the Lord would have to say to us. I felt a bit out of action during that week as I had a bug, which I'm still recovering from, and I've given it to Fiona as well. She's recovering, you'd be pleased to know, which is why she's here. But I like to share all things with my wife. But so I felt a little bit out of action. But during that time, I endeavoured to set a little bit more time than usual to seek the Lord for his direction for us. And during that time, something came from this portion of God's word in 2 Chronicles chapter 11, which I felt it was right to pass on to you this morning. Whether it takes 1 week or a couple, I'm not sure. We will just have to see. But it's basically, I want to look at something of the lessons from the reign of Rehoboam. It begins in 2 Chronicles in chapter 10. I'm going to refer to that in a minute, but we're really going to concentrate on chapter 11. But by way of introduction, names in the scripture are very often significant. And Rehoboam's name means a people has enlarged, or who enlarges the people. So really, the lessons that I want to look at from the life of Rehoboam are to do with enlargement, are to do with growth. How does God want to enlarge us, not only as an assembly, as a church, but as individuals in our relationship with the Lord? And you'll see that something of the principles of enlargement as we go through chapter 11. But before we do that, we need to look at chapter 10. because what has happened is that at the beginning of Rehoboam's reign, that Jeroboam leads a deputation to Rehoboam and says to him, "Your father made our lives an absolute misery. If you treat us well, if you treat us kindly, we will be your servants forever. But if you don't, the consequences will be upon your own head. Rehoboam then takes counsel from the older men whom he had known from his father's reign, Solomon, and he says, now, what do you suggest I do? How do you suggest I actually answer the people? And the elder men, the wiser men, say, well, if you treat them nicely, if you treat them kindly, they will be your servants and they'll cooperate. But he rejected their counsel and he looked to the younger men and said, now, what do you say? They didn't actually give him counsel. They told him what to do. They said, this is how you will answer them. And they use words like this, phrases like this. My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. My father made life difficult for you. He chastised you with whips. You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to chastise you with scorpions. And he answered the people, Rehoboam answered the people in that kind of way. And Jeroboam and all Israel say, right, we're going to our own tents. And at that point, the kingdom divides into the 10 tribes, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom of Judah and Benjamin. Now, you would think for a principle of enlargement that this doesn't bode well. Here is Rehoboam's name. God is trying to teach him this is how he's trying to teach him principles of enlargement. And what happens straight away is that the kingdom is divided. And friends, if we as a church are going to be a people that are enlarged, if we're going to be individual believers who grow, there is something vital here that I think we need to understand. You'll find it in chapter 11 and verse 4. This is what the Lord says. You are not to march up and fight against your brothers. Each of you must return home, for this incident has come from me. Or this thing is done by me. Quite literally, this thing exists. This turn of events has come to pass because of the Lord. And it's very easy as believers, when there are problems, when there are difficulties, particularly when there is separation, when there is constriction, when there is limiting in some way, and we feel that circumstances are against us, we can do one of three things very easily. First of all, we blame God. We ask the question, Lord, why did you allow it to happen? Lord, why did you cause it to happen? Secondly, we can blame ourselves. Rehoboam had every right, in a sense, to blame himself. He must have been kicking himself. Why did I fall for that trick? Why did I listen to the younger men? Why did I not give heed to those who really were able to give me right counsel? Actually, to be fair to Rehoboam, if you go over to chapter 13 and verse 7, you find a slightly different take on the events of chapter 10. Because Abijah, who's the next king after Rehoboam, sort of recapping this, says, there were gathered to him, that's to Rehoboam, vain men, the children of Belial, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted and was not able to withstand them. Now, I don't think that totally lets Rehoboam off the hook. But nevertheless, the man was young and he was inexperienced and he was weak. And so we can perhaps even blame God for allowing us to be put in a situation that we feel we can't handle. Why he was in that situation is perhaps another matter altogether. But we can blame ourselves for our wrong reactions. And thirdly, we can blame others. And this is exactly what Rehoboam actually does in verses 1 to 4. He starts to take matters into his own hand. He gathers 180,000 choice warriors and goes against Israel, seeks to go against Israel, because he says it's their fault, they shouldn't have reacted like that, and so he tries to take matters into his own hand again. Friends, all three reactions are wrong. The principle of enlargement that we need to understand is that God is behind events. God is behind things. And it is imperative that we learn to trust him. It is imperative that we learn to see that no matter how difficult the circumstances or how disastrous an incident may appear to be in our lives, God has known about it all along. And what is more, that God is able to use that for his own purposes in our lives. He's able to use that to enlarge us. We mustn't blame God. We mustn't blame ourselves. Yes, we need to search our own hearts. We need to repent where we do need to acknowledge our own sin. But God knew about it all. I mean, think of another example. Think of what happened to poor old Joseph. And eventually at the end of, much later on in Joseph's life, when his brothers had come to him, their father had died, and the brothers were really concerned that Joseph was going to take it out on them. And Joseph says, I'm not going to take it out on you. God knew about all this. God knew that there was going to be a famine, and he sent me ahead of you to preserve your lives. Friends, isn't that the most amazing thing? And there was no bitterness in Joseph's heart because of the reaction of his brothers to him and how they treated him. Friends, this is a man whom quite literally God had enlarged. And friends, we need to have the same big-heartedness and the same broader perspective on things. And we certainly mustn't take it out on those who ill-treat us. So the first principle of enlargement is that we need to understand that the turn of events is from God. God is behind things. God is using things. And we need to respond rightly. Now, I'm well aware of the fact that it's easier to say that than to do it. But friends, it's a vital principle that we understand. Now, I don't know in 2016 what the Lord is going to allow to happen to us at Bethel. I don't know what's going to happen to some of your lives. But God is wanting to use every circumstance to enlarge you. Now, do you see that? Are you going to cooperate with him? That's the big question. Well, there's the first principle. The second principle, really, let's focus a little bit more on chapter 11. Actually, having said that, chapter 11, verse 1. I don't think I mean that. I mean chapter 12 and verse 1. There's a sort of summary here. It came to pass when Rehoboam had established his sovereignty and had strengthened himself, or established his sovereignty and royal power, that he abandoned the law of the Lord. Now, basically, in those first 3 years of his reign, he strengthened himself. Verse 13, again, of chapter 12 is a kind of a summary. King Rehoboam established his royal power in Jerusalem. And this is the kind of second principle for enlargement, is that the Lord wants to establish us. And the Lord wants to establish you. Now, will you look, please, at verse 5? We're going to look at this in a little bit of detail, because you find in Rehoboam's reign in chapters 10, 11 and 12, quite a few references involving phrases like he strengthened. He strengthened the cities, or he strengthened himself, or others strengthened him. And this is really the principle of enlargement, that God wants to make us strong. And very often it's the same original word in the Hebrew that is used, which means something like this. It means to fasten yourself on. So God wants you to fasten yourself on him. It means to seize or to take hold of. Isaiah on one occasion says, there is no one who stirs himself up to lay hold of the Lord. Now, my dear friends, we need to be those who learn to take hold of the Lord. We can easily drift through our Christian lives in a kind of fatalistic, weak manner. God wants us to learn to take hold of him. And that's what Rehoboam effectively does, as we'll see. It can also mean to repair, or to help, or to cure. And what I want to suggest to you is that the Lord wants various aspects of our life as a church, and certainly all of us individually, he wants to strengthen us. He wants to repair. He wants to help us. He wants to fortify us. Now, for each of us, working that out is going to be a little bit different. So here are some of the possibilities. There follows in verse 5 a list of the fortified cities in Judah. And it says there that he built them up. He strengthened them. Now, why does the scripture give us a list of these cities? I want to suggest to you that the meanings of the cities indicate various aspects of our lives where we need to be built up. I'm not going to have time to go through them all, but let's go through at least the first few of them. Bethlehem is the first place he builds up. No prizes for knowing what Bethlehem means. Most of you, I trust, know. If you don't, make sure you memorize it. It's a significant name. It means the house or the place of food, of bread. It is quite literally, Bethlehem is the breadbasket for Israel as a country. It is the place of food. The first place where we need building up, we need fortifying, is in the Word of God. The Word of God is our spiritual food. Man shall not live by bread alone, said the Lord Jesus, quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Paul, in Acts 20, talking to the Ephesian Christians, commends them to the word of the grace of God, which is able to build them up. There is no other means by which your spiritual life, your relationship to God, is going to be built up other than through the word of God. You have heard similar sentiments stated from this pulpit, or whatever it is, time and time again for many years, some of you. You will hear it again and again and again. You need to learn to build yourself up. It is not good enough, although it's a help, to listen to anointed preaching and teaching from the Word of God. That is part of it. But you need to learn to get into the Word of God for yourself, to read it, to familiarize yourself with it, to meditate in it, to consider it, so that it starts to feed your heart and to feed your soul, and that so that the Word of God can be written on your heart and change you. And if you say, well, I haven't got time, I have to be up at an early hour of the morning, and friends, I understand some of you lead particularly busy lives, but it's a question of attitude. If you understand your need to build yourself up, the Lord will make a way. I'm not saying you have to spend 2 hours every day in the scripture. I know of one person who, because of his early start in the morning, he spends his time meditating in the Word on the train going up to London. There are times, take part of the lunch hour, whatever it is, but find that time where you can commune with the Lord. The word for meditation in the Bible, in the Old Testament anyway, there are a number of different words that are used, but one of the meanings of the word is to growl. It is the picture of a lion growling over its prey. You will not be wise if you disturb a lion growling over its prey. And you need to have that kind of attitude to your prey, which is this book. You'll need to say, I'm going to let nothing stop me from feeding on the Lord. The Lord Jesus is the bread of life. He wants to feed you with himself. And he said in John 6, the chapter when he says, I'm the bread of life, he says, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And that is what he meant by saying he was the bread of life and the need to feed on him. He was talking about the words of God. They are spirit, they are life. The only way that a printed page can become spirit and life is by the Spirit of God taking that word and applying it to you. Are you building yourself up? Are you fortifying yourself? Friends, you will not be enlarged unless you learn to do that. You need to be stronger in the Word. For some of you, that will simply mean carry on as you're going. You're doing very well, praise the Lord. Continue in the Word and don't let circumstances, however difficult they may be, stop you doing that. For others of you, maybe getting into the Word is something you're doing on a rather ad hoc basis. It needs repair, friends. It needs fortifying. This aspect of your lives, you need to repair it. It needs strengthening. and others of you, maybe the walls of the city aren't even built at all. And you need to learn how to do it. Please ask for help if you really don't know how to do it. Okay? We'd be glad to help you. Which is why we encourage some of the ladies to go on this mini Bible weekend. I'm delighted that there are those of you who are going. So that is what Bethlehem means. We need to be stronger this year in the Word of God. Secondly, Etam. What does that mean? Well, it means one of two things, but it's sort of has got the same sort of implication, I think. It means a place of hawks or birds of prey, or otherwise it could also mean wild beasts' lair. Now, in the scripture, wild beasts and hawks, which are birds of prey, are things which devour and which destroy, and therefore need to be got rid of. So the second way in which we need building up is in our strength to be able to deal with what will devour us. That is, at the very least, sinful practice. It may be that behind those there are even something of demonic powers as well. But we need to recognise where there are those battles that we face against things which will destroy us ultimately. And we need to deal with them ruthlessly. To what extent is that needing fortifying in your life? Do you need encouraging? Do you need strengthening in dealing with that which is going to devour you unless you deal with it severely? The third city is Tekoa, which means settlement or a place where tents are pitched. What is this speaking of? Well, in New Testament terms, the place where we pitch ourselves, the place where we are, where we abide, is in the Lord Jesus. This is really saying to us, we need to be strong in our abiding in Christ. We need to be settled in him. Colossians 1 and verse 23 talks about being grounded and settled in the faith. And when it says settled there, it's talking about being steadfast or immovable. When it's talking about being grounded, it means that there's a good foundation laid. There's something that is consolidated there. So I suppose really what I'm asking us all, is to what extent is your faith grounded and settled? To what extent have you pitched, excuse me, to what extent have you pitched your tent in the Lord? To what extent are you abiding in the Lord? To what extent is there a good foundation in your relationship with the Lord? Or are you the sort of Christian that is really quite fickle? And you're thrown and tossed this way and that. God wants you to be grounded and God wants you to be settled in the faith. There's another scripture in Ephesians 3 that talks about being rooted and grounded in love. There's another thing we need to be rooted and grounded in. Knowing that the Lord loves you. And all that that means. Where is your tent pitched? Maybe part of it, I'm sort of speaking a little bit off the top of my head, but maybe for some of you, you need to decide where your spiritual tent is going to be in terms of whereabouts you're going to go to church on a regular basis. You don't pitch a tent there, here and everywhere. You need to get in somewhere. I appreciate that circumstances don't always allow for that, but you need to recognise where you need to pitch yourself. The next place, Beth Zur, which means the house of a rock, or the house on a rock. Well, you don't need me to remind you of the Lord's parable of the wise man who built his house on a rock, Beth Zur, if you like. He heard and obeyed the Lord. What is this saying? We need to be strong in our obedience to the Lord. We need to be strong in our hearing of what the Lord wants us to do and doing what he says. And not partial in our obedience. Not picking and choosing. but rather committed to what the Lord is saying to us and working it out in our lives. Does that area of your life need fortifying? Does that area of your life need strengthening? If it doesn't, take Rehoboam's example and build it. This is how to get enlarged. It didn't happen overnight. It took him at least three years to do all of this, I think. Possibly a little bit less. The next place, Socho, or your version may have Shoco, S-H-O-C-O. This means shut in, or protected, or restraint. We need to be strong in learning to make the Lord our defence, to make the Lord our protection. We need to learn to how to be shut in with the Lord. It's not always easy to do so. Elijah, for example, had to learn how to be fed by a widow woman in Syria, an alien place. He had to learn before that how to be fed by unclean birds, ravens, at a brook. He was shut in. He couldn't go here, there and everywhere as he had been used to doing. And we need, as believers, to learn to be shut in, to be learn to be to receive from the Lord his provision for us in our particular circumstances. We need to learn that God is our defence. Maybe another aspect of the meaning of Beth Zur as well, that we need to learn to make the Lord our rock. And part of that is that the Lord is our defence. And I think, finally, because I want to move on to something else before we close, we're going to stop with the next one, which is Adullam, which means resting place. We need to be strong in learning that everything is from God. That's what a resting place is. The principle of rest in the scriptures is that you can utterly rest and depend on the fact that God is your all in all. So it takes the striving, it takes the self-effort. I didn't say it take away the effort, but it takes away the self-effort. It takes away the stress, it takes away the anxiety. Rest in the Lord. Friends, this is not an option. Psalm 37 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. It's a command. Do it. I don't feel like it. I'm such a worrying kind of person. Stop being a worrying kind of person. Just rest in the Lord. How do I do it? You go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I commit this to you and I'm going to trust you. Gritted teeth. But you do it. Don't wait for the feelings. Rest is not some kind of mystical experience that you have on Sunday mornings or whenever you have them. Rest in the Lord. Trust him. Lean on him. Make him your rest. It's all of God. That's really what he's saying. Now, maybe that for some of you, none of these things apply. I would doubt it, but maybe. Well, there are other names. You can look them up for yourself. But these are just examples of areas in which I suggest we need to be stronger as believers. How else then did Rehoboam become enlarged himself? How were the people enlarged? Well, as a result of doing all that we've been looking at so far, look at verse 13. The priests and the Levites from all their region throughout Israel took their stand with Rehoboam. There's something extraordinary here. Jeroboam, you can read about it in verse 15, had built for himself two golden calves, one at Bethel and one at Dan. He built one or two other places, and he basically appointed priests for himself. He basically excluded the Levites from being able to function. Now, of course, actually, he did that because he was concerned that he would lose the kingdom and that Israel would gravitate back to Judah again. Well, that's exactly what happened. So his efforts were in vain, really. But what happened was that these Levites who wanted to serve the Lord, who wanted to go to the place where God had put his name, they went to Jerusalem. And they began to function in Judah, in Jerusalem, because that's where they wanted to be. Because Jeroboam had not had refused them, it says in verse 14, had refused to let them serve as priests of the Lord. And I wonder here whether something of a principle of enlargement. What's the relevance for the church in the UK? I certainly think that we are living, have been for a while now, in increasing idolatry spiritually within the UK. It is also becoming difficult for believers who genuinely want to follow the Lord, who genuinely want to serve him, and to operate in a good environment, to be able to do so. I've mentioned two people who are not able to be baptized in the place where, in the place that they live, and I won't go into the reasons for that. There is a limiting there. There is a restriction there. And so I wonder really whether if God strengthens us, I believe that the Lord wants us to be stronger as a church and as individuals, what we will see happening, as with other similar assemblies, and thank God there are others as well, that we will see that others will start to join us because they're looking for opportunities to be able to serve the Lord and to join with the people of God. That is the principle of enlargement. Actually, perhaps before we go on, we should just look at verse 11. He strengthened their fortifications and put leaders in them. All these things are important. In them, with supplies of food. We've talked about the word of God. Oil, that speaks of the power and the working of the Holy Spirit. And wine, that speaks of fruitfulness. Strengthening the fruitfulness in your life. How does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. Here's an example. Supposing the Lord wants to strengthen the aspect of the fruitfulness of love within your life. What does he do? He puts you with somebody you find very difficult to love. He puts you in a circumstance where you have to start to show love. And the wine starts to flow. Why is it wine? Wine is produced from the crushing of a grape. And as we go through a bit of crushing, then the wine starts to flow. So all these things are important. Verse 12, he also put large shields. We need to learn Ephesians 6 to take hold of the shield of faith. We need to engage in our own spiritual warfare. We need to learn to hold up that shield when we're under attack. We need to learn how to use the spear. That's the Old Testament equivalent, I would suggest, of the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God in Ephesians 6. We need to learn how to be defensive and offensive. The Lord is looking to strengthen us. We need to learn to recognise the battles and learn how the Lord wants us to fight these battles. And it's not just the Levites, moving on again. Sorry to jump around a bit. It's not just the Levites, but then, verse 16, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord God of their fathers. And I certainly think that's something that we need to pray for the people of God, generally speaking, that they will set their hearts to seek the Lord, and that those who seek the Lord would be able to join with others of like mind in doing that. That, I believe, is at least something of the strategy that the Lord wants this year, and we are to be part of that, God willing. Now, sad to say, this only happened for 3 years in Rehoboam's life. And after that, there was trouble. I'm not going to go on about that now, maybe on another occasion. But can I just remind you, please, I think I even brought this 2 weeks ago, that one of the reasons that this enlargement didn't last, sadly, was because of chapter 12 and verse 14. It says, he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And friends, one of the things that Rehoboam did do, at least for a while, is that he sought the Lord up to a point. We need to fix in our hearts that we're going to seek the Lord, that we're going to put him first. And that no matter what happens, no matter what disasters happen, no matter what separation we may have to see, and difficulties we may have to endure, that we hold on to the Lord and that we operate by these principles of enlargement. At least to start off with, you need to build some of these qualities into your lives. You need to strengthen them. We need to be stronger as an assembly in these and in other ways, so that then others are able to join us and there will be a natural growth and a good growth that results from that. Well, maybe may the Lord help us to fix, maybe may the Lord help us to be those as of the tribes of Israel and set our hearts to seek the Lord and to put him first in all things. Shall we pray, please?